I'm Ivy.
I'm Rachel, and we are Swords and Sapphics, a podcast all about representation, queer media, women with a capital W, and a little bit of nonsense.
So start sharpening your swords, sip your tea, and join us as we obsess over the wonderful beings that are women. Hello.
Hello.
What are we talking about today?
We are going to talk about things. We'll talk about, well, we haven't really spoken a lot about the newest season of Heartstopper yet, so we'll talk a little bit about Heartstopper. And of course, it's NaNoWriMo. The month of writing is upon us. So we can talk a little bit about how we're doing.
Mm-hmm.
But first,
let me take a selfie.
First of all, if you're watching us on YouTube, please appreciate our beautiful, beautiful merch. Mine is covered in dog hair, but I have a new hoodie. And Ivy's wearing her women's t-shirt,
which you can buy on our website now.
Yes. Yes, you can.
And it's highly encouraged.
Yes. These hoodies, honestly, I got the extra large. It's so fucking cozy. I never want to take it off.
I get it.
Anyways.
Yes.
Let's get into it.
Let's
catch up.
Okay. I don't know. I wasn't prepared for this, but... Okay, I guess let's do it. I can wing it.
Thank you. I appreciate you doing that for me.
I know. Anything.
What have you been reading this week?
I wasn't reading much, period. But I did finish an audiobook, The Ballad of Songbirds and Snakes by Susan Collins. I'm ready for the movie.
Mm.
Yay.
No spoilers, please.
None. I have been also reading My Roommate is a Vampire by Jenna Levine.
Mm-hmm.
And it's fun. It's really funny. I did take a longer break from it right now just because my eyes cannot handle letters. But it's really fun and I do recommend it. It's a silly little romance with a vampire.
Yeah.
Who's a
no.
roommate? Oh, Lord. I'm sorry. I shouldn't have said that. I wanted you to be surprised about it. My bad.
Well, if you're us, you would have been surprised about it.
Yeah. I know. I was reading it and I was like, this is strange. Strange fellow. And then he had blood in his fridge. I'm like, wait.
Might this be the vampire one is referring to in the title?
Mind blown.
Oh my gosh.
And I've been also reading an audiobook, King of Pride by Anna Huang. I was reading it physically a few months ago, but it didn't caught me like her previous books.
Mm-hmm.
But the audiobook is very good. I think it's the first time when it's from one POV, the other person is voicing their lines.
Mm-hmm.
Which is weird because this is the first time. So like when it's read by the girly, the man does the man voices and vice versa.
Mm.
I know, it's interesting, but it's really fun. It's fun.
Yeah. I can imagine because like, yeah, that works. Why did we wait till now to start doing that?
I don't know. I think it's done more in these type of romances.
Yeah.
Because, like, I know about it happening, but I was always like, I don't want to break my, like, concentration with different voice.
Yeah.
But it works. It does work. It's really fun.
Yeah. Although I must admit, like, the gay in me really loves it when a woman has to do the man's lines and she goes really deep and husky. Like, I won't lie.
I know. And also, like, I'm thinking right now of, the Cruel Prince audiobooks because they're fucking fantastic audiobooks and I recommend it so much. And the narrator, like, she worked her fucking magic with all the different voices and it's a whole different art of doing that and I'm enjoying that a lot.
Good. Is that it for reading?
Yeah, that is for reading.
Yeah.
So how about you?
I haven't been reading much either. But I did get a chance to read a very short horror by Stuart Tudor. It's Only My Eyes Move, and it's the first book in the Eight Nightmares series. I enjoyed it. Like, I always love diving into horror because it's not a genre I'm mega used to, so it's all very novel to me. So that always makes it an interesting read because I do want to like get into horror. And this one is told through the point of view of a puppet. And it
Oh.
kind of so like it's like this puppet that's trapped as a puppet and it's trapped in a case. And like it kind of like in Toy Story, it reminded me of that scene in Toy Story where Woody is getting like cleaned down and stuff by that toy cleaner guy. You know, with the cotton swab to his eyeball and shit like that. It reminded me of that. And then there's like the scene on stage where he's t he you know because he's a I think he's a marionette with the strings, so he's on strings, so he's like controlled every move. So I found it, like that exploration into something very mundane and giving life to an object that you wouldn't usually was very interesting. It wasn't like the typical gory, like scary horror. It was more like subtly unsettling, I think is the right way to describe it. So yeah, I would recommend that if you're looking. And it was only 50 pages, so if you need to up your re reading count for the year and you like something a bit different, I would recommend this one.
What even
Other
is my
than
reading challenge? It's horrible. Oh God, I'm 27 books behind schedule.
I'm 3 books behind, 56 out of 70.
I think 87 out of 135. I don't think I'll make it this year.
We read a lot in winter, you rem like when you
That's
think
true.
about it.
That's true. Ugh, it's just been really difficult with all because I work more than I did before because I work hourly now.
Yeah.
And it's just, I'm so much more exhausted than I've ever been before.
I
And it's really
know.
difficult for me to read these days. And I hate it. I
Yeah.
hate
Me too, but I was having that trouble anyways because obviously, like, words are my job as well. So it's really hard to just. I love reading and, like, it was my favorite hobby, but it's hard to not associate with work now.
Yeah, I get it.
I'm really behind on ARCs and I feel horrible about it. But Lillian Barry's The Santa Pageant just came out. And I'm loving it so far. I think I'm only like 20% in, but it's great. It's got a lesbian main character and a bisexual non-binary main character, and it's set on, oh, what's the one with the pies? The do you know the island with the long? It's got a film with Lily James in it, and it's a, Guernsey. Guernsey. Sorry, Guernsey.
Yeah, I don't know that one.
It's a film called The Literary Society of Potato Peel. The Guernsey Literary Society of Potato Peel Pies, or something like that. That's how I remember it. Yeah. So there's like the sea vibe as well, and of course they're competing to be the Santa in the Santa pageant for a shopping centre, and it's great. It's really good, and there's the angst of past friends there as well. They used to be friends and they kissed and now it's awkward and hostile. I love it. Yeah. But
Yeah, I'm
apart from
excited
that,
to get to it. Yeah, I
yeah.
just.
I'm really loving that every year now I'm getting a really funny sapphic rom. Well, it's not sapphic, but a queer rom-com. Like last year we had Make You Mine This Christmas by Lizzie Huxley-Jones. This year we have The Santa Pageant. It's great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What have you been watching?
I'm going through some stuff. I watched Grey's Anatomy. I've just got the last episode of episode. Got the last episode of season 11 to watch. Ivy lied to me and said that Derek doesn't die until season 14. But
No, I'm gonna set this straight. I when I finished my rewatch, I didn't remember when I my first watch, I didn't remember that I was on season 19. I didn't remember what happened, so I said around season 14. And like two episodes ago, we could remember that this girlie was like, I have few episodes left, a few seasons left of Derek, and I managed to keep a straight face. I let you know. And then this girlie, by the way, the next night or the night after that, she went through the synopsis of the episodes of the entire season. And I was like, stop it. Don't do this. And she was like, I'm not doing it. And then, and I was like, fuck's sake. She did it, by the way.
I did it. I always do it.
Yeah.
So yeah, I've just lost McDreamy and it's a sad time. But Meredith Grey remains a queen. I'm obsessed with Amelia Shepherd. She's my new everything. I have a new character and I do believe he's about to become the love of my life.
You will believe correctly, and it, because he is everything. I'm so excited for you to like get to his peak,
Get to his what?
to like the peak of his character arc, and
He's
through
really fucking
Veruca.
gorgeous, man.
He is so fucking gorgeous. He's
I don't
so
know what to
everything
do
to
with myself when he
me.
comes on the screen.
He makes me blush. He makes me kick my feet. He makes me giggle.
Honestly.
No man has ever done that. His sister, same thing.
Yeah, I'm
Same thing.
excited. But right now, Amelia Shepherd is the love of my life. What I would request is that Owen Hunt stop signing up my babies to go do fucking tours in Afghanistan. This man is walking war propaganda and I've had enough. Leave them alone. George O'Malley didn't even make it through the front fucking door and he decided to do it again with April. I
Yeah.
just had to get that off my chest.
I understand.
Apart from that, I've not been what I've been obsessed with this, so I've not been watching much else. We've been watching a little bit of Sex Education, but we're going very slowly with that. So we might do like a episode up for it when we're done with it. What else? I've been watching a lot of BuzzFeed Unsolved on YouTube.
Yeah.
I'm obsessed with Ryan and Shane now. That's a th I'm like 5 years too late, but
You're
I'm
there, and that's what matters.
there, yeah. And I'm having a great time.
That's good.
Yeah.
That's what
I'm
matters.
definitely Ryan in the situation. Like, he's scared of everything, and that's definitely me. Oh, I did actually watch something else.
Oh.
Two things, actually.
Okay.
I watched We Bought a Ghost. No, not We Bought a Ghost. We Have a Ghost on Netflix. That was shit, and I stopped watching it halfway through, but it did have my mans in it, David Harbour.
Such an amazing like sum up of a movie. I love it.
Izzy really enjoyed it, so I guess my nana also really enjoyed it. So I guess if you have a smaller brain capacity, you might enjoy it.
Love
No
it.
disrespect.
No, all the disrespect. It's okay.
And we also was watching. Oh, what was it? It was a BBC documentary about the crime gangs what near where I live in Rochdale. And that was, it was very interesting and very like disheartening to see how much like drug gangs can affect like a community and a society. I had no fucking clue. And especially with it being like so close to where I live, it was
Yeah.
quite a strange experience to watch. But yeah. That's really it for me. What have you been watching?
I'm gonna check everyone. Grace and Station 19.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah, I know you did not expect
I
this,
didn't
but
see that coming and now I'm speechless.
I was so sh I know. I know. I apologize. My bad. Yeah, I've been watching only that. yeah. That's it. Nothing else. I'm on the like I'm during I'm on the COVID seasons, which, I mean, they're so good because the Yangs and everybody is so broken,
Yeah.
and I have my my main ships in Station 19, which is Maya and Karina, and I love them. And I love Karina so much. She the only wrong thing she's ever done was Owen Hunt, but I will forgive her for that because she can do nothing wrong. And I will always take her side because my baby went through so much shit. And I'm on her side. Always and forever. And the same for Maya, really. She did nothing wrong. She cannot do anything wrong. And they are my parents. And that's how I like it to be. Thank you. I didn't know where I was going with it, but I feel like you understand my sentiment.
I understand. I have the same thing with Amelia.
Yeah. Amelia actually, that was like, she just now had one of my favorite moments. Yeah. To me,
One
to
thing
me.
that I will say about Grace is the way they fucking. I knew Derek was about to die, right? And then I watched the episode where it happened, and I'm like, oh, he's about to crash his car. No. He stops the car, gets out, and watches another fucking car crash happening in front of him. And then I'm like, oh, the car's gonna blow up. And that's how he dies. No, he didn't fucking die that way either. He got back in his car after he saved someone else from a car crash, and a fire engine hit him.
Yeah.
What the, like, that was a silly death for me. I'm gonna say it.
I think one of the things that I dislike about Grace is that every time a character is leaving, you can tell beforehand because they start fucking up their entire character arc. Alex left recently. They fucked him up so badly that I'm sick to my stomach. Like, it's so
Oh no.
bad. It's genuinely so horribly bad. They did the same with Izzy. They did the same
Yeah.
thing with Izzy. It's absolutely disgusting and it's heartbreaking because especially when you have like fucking 15 years of a specific character
Yeah.
growing so well and they fuck it up in one episode, it's just so disheartening.
I'm not ready for Alex because, like,
Yeah.
and Alex especially, like, he's been through so
Yes.
much development. Like, he was the one who started off awful, and he became like so firmly loved because he's such a he has such a beautiful like arc, and that's gonna upset me.
Once you get to it, I will tell you you will be upset about the same exact things that I was. It's just horrible. It's horrible. It's horrible. It's horrible. I think they managed not to fuck up Meredith only because she's Meredith Grey, and I don't think they would get another season if they would.
No, they couldn't do that to her. They
You
do.
exactly from that you can tell when the actor wanted to leave and when they wanted them to leave. You can tell just based on that.
Because the argument about Derek going to DC was happening for like a whole fucking season. And like I could predict everything that was happening, but it was just also the fact that he got sent to a fucking hospital that didn't know trauma and didn't know how to handle his thingy was really upsetting, because when it gets to that point where you enjoy a character, you don't want to see them suffer that way. Like, you
Yeah.
don't want them to die in an unfair way. And the fact that he was sent to a different hospital and not Seattle Grace, where he could have been helped, that's really unfair.
But I'm gonna tell you, like, it's not the, like, there is so much outcome from this. It's so good. It's so good. People who've seen it know what I'm talking about because that was one of the last episodes Alex was in. That was my favorite episode. I know, like, there is a whole speech that I know and I have it on my repeat because every time it pops out on my TikTok, I watch it all the time. It's so good and I'm so ready for you to get to it. It's so
I'm
fucking good.
excited.
And before that, you're gonna have some beautiful, beautiful storyline. Well, it's not like beautiful. You're gonna feel things. It's gonna
It
be great.
hurts.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, the thing is, like, will they fall flat in that way? Like, the way that Meredith handles it and the way that they show her character is also really great, because you see how like linked she is to her mom, and they draw a lot of parallels to that as well.
Yeah.
And like that was nice, but I don't know, it's just always so unfair when they treat your character badly. And he's not even like I went through minute of like fucking despising him because he left Meredith to go to DC and he put all his emphasis on the fucking job. And then he came back and he was all sweet again and
I know.
realized. But one of my worst pet hates in every media is the fact that the man has to go undergo something to realize how to be a decent human being or a decent husband or a decent father. I hate that trope. And they did it to
Yeah.
Derek.
I did love how when he got to a point where he was content, because I feel like the career part where he had to be the best was like very consistent with his character since the beginning. It was
Yeah.
when they started like the first thing where Meredith wasn't even mentioned in it, even though it was like sort of her idea and she helped him the entire time when she was intern. Like it's very much a constant thing, but he got to a point where he was very content and he was ha like Amelia was his boss and he was just, it was so soft to see. And like
Yeah.
I wanted him to get there the entire time, and it's enraging like that he was there only for a minute.
Yeah, I have a love-hate thing with Grace. Like, most of the time they do exceptional and everything that they do, which I didn't expect at all from that show going in. But like when a character dies, a beloved character, there's usually it usually misses the mark a little bit somehow.
Don't worry, more people will die and they will nail it.
And I'm scared.
Yeah. I just went through something very emotional.
I
Yeah.
actually still don't know how a lot of these people are going to leave me, and I'm scared. Like, I knew Christina and Derek, like, this is the first time going in where I don't know anything now. I know Alex is going to leave, but I don't know, like, I don't know anything. I don't know anything about what to expect from this point forward, and I'm scared. I'm very scared. And of course, I know Meredith as well. It's scary times. Anyway. Oh, we haven't talked about playing games, but do we really need to?
No, it's still Fortnite. I did download a game during tonight on my phone. It's called Dragon City, and you built your Dragon City. It's a city full of dragons. I know, mind blown. It's very fun. I have my dragons. They're adorable. They named them, and one of them, what's it called? Do you remember how I called him?
Dave.
Dave. Dave. I got a dragon called Dave, and I love him.
I've been playing Mail Time a little bit.
Oh, yeah.
It's a
Me too.
cozy game where you deliver mail to animal residents in the woods, and it's very vibey and cottage core. There's toadstools and mushrooms everywhere,
Yeah.
and they're all really there's like they're funny, the dialogue's funny, the characters are cute. But I need a map because I keep getting fucking lost.
Same. That's what I mean. Like people said that they can the playthrough could be 3 to 4 hours when you're very quick.
Yeah.
I get lost for 3 to 4 hours.
Yeah. Yeah. And I guess that's why they didn't give us a map.
Yeah.
And I would say if I could go back, I would wait for it to be on sale because personally, like, I don't think it's worth 16 Great British pounds. Not that it's not worth it, but just that for like I've played games that have more content for a lot cheaper,
Yeah.
I would say. Because you are just walking around one area. I thought it would be a little more varied.
Understandable. Get it.
But in all, it's very cute and cozy.
It is.
That's that.
We're all caught up.
We're all caught up. Let's talk about Heartstopper.
It stopped my heart.
Stopped. It was honestly like it's very special to have a show that kind of heals your little queer heart.
Yeah.
Like we didn't have that growing up. It was still hard to come by. And I guess it still is, of course, but and like of course, like as sapphics, we kind of always wish there was more sapphic media out there that was as popular and loved as Heartstopper is and wasn't cancelled after a season. But like in general, it's just there's so many identities.
Yeah, and Isaac came out as Ace also,
He
or Ara.
did.
I keep mistaking the two.
I
But
think both.
I
I
think,
think
but
both.
yeah. It's very soft. That's what I mean. I don't like when people say it's a only gay show because it's not, because there's so many identities and it's not only Nick and Charlie. And I think it's very important to mention that and differentiate that.
Yeah.
Not to mention, like, you have it, the cast is very queer. They're very yes. openly queer when they started. Someone was forced to do that, but
mm-hmm.
we've already had that discussion and it's still enraging.
Yeah.
But it's more than just a gay show. Like, it's just phenomenal.
I would say, like, the books are slightly more focused on the gay.
Yeah.
Like, there's definite, like, side characters, but it mostly is just Nick and Charlie. But the show has done really well in expanding, like, the queerness of it and making sure every character has their own storyline.
But also, Alice is doing the whole, like, the same, they're all interconnected, the characters of the whole series, outside of Heartstopper, and there's also more identities to there's just more also,
yeah,
but yeah, in Heartstopper itself, it's more, yeah, and it's great,
yeah,
and not to mention, like, next season we're gonna have, like, the eating disorder storyline, which is also not that common to see.
No, it's, yeah, I think they do it well because, like, they really took their time with it, mm-hmm. and in the books as well. So, like, you kind of don't even realize anything's wrong at first. And
yeah,
then there's
even though there's signs, which is so, like,
yeah,
I don't want to say magical, but, like, it's just very interesting because that's very realistic.
Yeah, usually eating disorders are portrayed as, like, this big thing, which they are, but, like, to other people, you're not likely to realize it. Like, a lot of eating disorders is a very solitary thing that you don't let other people into, and I think they show that well with Charlie.
Yeah, because if you know what to look for in the first season, you could tell, you could see that they were already, like, hinting towards it.
Yeah,
and if you don't know, then you won't even raise an eyebrow. He's not hungry. Not that. You don't even possibly notice it at all.
Yeah. And, like, he also talks about, like, self-harm as well, which is another thing that people don't really approach, especially in queer media, because they think that it has to be all cutesy and wonderful, otherwise people won't be watching it anymore.
Yeah.
I think for a teen show, they did it pretty well.
Yeah.
My favorite part, though, was the teachers.
I know. Look, I'm not a teenager anymore. I'm thirsting for all of their parents and teachers. And what was his name? Mr. Farouk?
Yes, Mr. Farouk.
Boy stole my heart.
I know. I'm so in love with him.
It's just,
he's grumpy and his and his boyfriend is sunshine, and it's great. And also, they're both men of color.
Yes, and also, he mentioned that found out about, like, himself later in life.
Yeah,
like, not, it was that they had a whole conversation about that. Like, it was very special, very soft.
Yeah, it is. I agree.
The last book is coming out next month.
It is. Yeah, I didn't even know that it was still going.
Yeah.
But did they intend to put out another book before the show came out, or was it? Oh, interesting.
Yeah, it was unfinished because I don't think the fourth one came out when the first season came out. It was still, like, unfinished. But yeah, it's the last one, and I have to say it's one of those things because it's very short and quick. I would be happy for 5 more.
I know. Yeah.
But also, I'm always happy when it ends in its beak and doesn't, like,
yeah, yeah.
So, too much.
Yeah. I would like a similar show, but for adults.
Yeah.
Like, I still want all that queer joy, but, like, just in adults. Because my thing, I do actually feel quite, like, I feel quite, like, a little bit of pain when I watch it, just because I wish that I had more in high school, like. And it kind of makes you just wish you could just rewrite it all and have, like, be on a queer ley line like they are.
It is really bittersweet.
Yeah. And just in general, like, I didn't have a lot of close friends like that. And there is such a lovely, like, found family aspect to it that a lot of teenagers probably wish they could have. And I still kind of feel like that little teenager who didn't have that.
I get it, yeah.
Also, a lot of people was like criticizing Nick for constantly saying, I'm bi, actually, and like, I'm bi, because people kept calling him gay. And it's like, that's the fucking point.
The point.
Like, bi is not gay. Like, gay can be an umbrella term, but like, it's not your job to like rewrite their queerness and like flesh over what they really are. And also just the assumption that if you're kissing a boy, that then you're gay. Instead, like, when so many other identities exist. Like, I think that's important and probably mirrors a lot of Nick's actor, because he's also had to do the same thing, and he was forced to come out because people was like, this straight boy shouldn't be playing a bi character. And
Yeah,
it's
and then yet when Red, White, and Royal Blue came out. Once again, I heard the thing is, I see it from queer people most being like, straight people should not play gay characters. I'm like, shut the fuck up. It's not even a year since we had this conversation.
Yeah. Wait, so who came out from Red, White, and Royal
No
Blue?
one, but like, it was the same conversation when
Oh,
people were
right, yeah.
like, they're straight. You don't know that. That's
Yeah.
the point. My God.
Yeah. And also, yeah, it would be nice when if like they were portrayed, if queer characters was explicitly portrayed by queer actors, because queer actors need that platform. But we're not in a safe enough environment to start making those demands. Like, people should not have to out themselves when they live in an unsafe industry for the sake of, so that you can be happy about yourself and find something else to complain about instead. Because let's be honest, most people will anyways. We did, but like the sapphic twist at the end with Imogen and Sahar.
Oh yeah.
That was great.
That was great.
I
That was
love that
great.
so much.
I know.
There is not one single straight.
As it should be, especially when Imogen was like, I'm an ally. And Darcy was like, we thank you for your service. And now she's one of them. And I'm like, yay! Fuck yeah. I was always an ally, also a big
Yeah.
ally for queer
Me too.
people. And
I was like, wow, why do I always care about inequality?
like queer people can have the same rights as me. I will give them that.
Just because I'm a nice straight person like that.
I know. I'm an ally. Yay. I will wave your flag.
Yeah.
We all been there, let's be honest.
Yeah, it's great.
Yeah.
It really is great.
Yeah. Was...
We did have some listener questions revolving around Heartstopper, so I guess we can do those now.
Oh, wonderful.
Ifka asked, what do you love about Tara and Darcy representation?
Many things. I do love that Tara was struggling a little bit. Especially after Darcy is shown like very set and confident in her sexuality, even though her home life is the opposite of that when she's living in very like horrible house. It's just soft. I love them.
I
They're
know.
so adorable.
I felt like very close to Darcy when she didn't really react to Tara telling her that she loved her, and like she kind of closed off a little bit. I kind of felt close to her then, because I wouldn't know how to handle those big feelings either.
Get it.
Even though it would be for a completely different reason, like, and it was just nice to see a sapphic couple on TV. And again, like, I'm so glad that they give us so much more content. And also, we didn't talk about Elle and like her trans journey. That's beautiful as well. Just everything.
Everything. There's
And
not one
her
thing.
new like queer friends, and like she goes to art school and she has new queer peers, and just like how much more comfortable you can become when you're around people who are like you. Ivka also asked, how excited are you for volume 5 next month?
So excited. I'm
Yeah.
very excited.
I'm not like gonna pre-order it or anything. But I'll be glad when I have it and I can read it.
I know this book will be in my bookstore, so I get to buy it physically, like immediately. I don't have to
Oh,
wait for Amazon. So I'm very excited to do the little ritual of going into a bookstore, especially during like it's gonna be Christmas time. Like the lights are
wow.
already on, I'm sure. So I'm very, very excited
Yeah.
to get that.
I would really like to start reading Tori's story soon.
Yeah. I have to say the audiobook is very good. So
I might listen.
if you don't want to go physically, the
Yeah.
audiobooks are really, really good.
Yeah. And Lillian asked, which character in Heartstopper do you relate to most?
Oh. I think I'm gonna go with Nick. Not
Yeah.
only just because of the we're both bi, but like in general, I did also like Am I Gay quizzes and I tried
Oh,
to figure it out. I
yeah.
also felt
Yeah.
by panic during Pirates of Caribbean. And like general, like his personality, I'm vibing that.
He's such a golden retriever, man.
He's such a dad. I love his dad's dances. Like he puts his
Yeah.
arms on his chest like a fucking dad all the time, and I love it.
I
It's so cute.
It's so. Oh, yes, man. I would say you were like a toss up between Nick and Tori. Like the darker side of you is probably Tori.
I do. That I like that. She's too like stoic for me to fully embrace that, but I do
Yeah.
love her dark parts a lot. And when I
Yeah.
was reading her book, I did feel that a lot. Like, if I remember it well, she was like very lost and sort of like finding her feet, and that I it was very, I felt that.
Yeah. Mine one would be either Darcy, but also I like found myself in Isaac a lot this season. Not just because I don't know where I am on the A spectrum, but I do believe I'm on there somewhere. But also just kind of feeling out of place even when he's among queer friends, because he still doesn't really know where he's at, and he's always the one like walking behind, like in his own little world. I kind of feel like that. I feel that. And that was it for the questions. So, shall we talk about Nano?
Let's.
How's it going? Where you at?
So I'm doing my Oathbound, which is arcane Fortnite vibes. I had around 9,500 words before this month, and I've been editing, so I'm on 9,000 something hundred. I didn't move much, but I do like have better sense of where it's going. I'm sort of like expanding on the characters and the world, and I have a lot of like ideas for the mostly like the story like l later on. And last night, because I fell asleep around 5, I pretty much like figure out an entire character's arc, which was fun for me. So like I had the idea writing wise not so well, but I'm excited to write more.
Yeah, we're trying. We've done a couple sprints this week. Yeah.
So how about you?
I am writing a cozy witchy romance called Autumn Leaves and Magic Please. I started on 9K and I think I'm around 13 now. So I think altogether this nano I might have run 5K. So I'm a little behind. Let me find my accountability thread because that will tell me. Yeah, I've only written 5K. And the rule is like 1.6K a day around, but obviously, like we both work, and my job is words, so like I don't always want to write at the end of the day. So I'm doing my best. I got a heads up from my agent. I sent her the first 8K that I'd written at that point, just because it's a whole thing, man. I haven't known what to write all fucking year, and I was like, what about this? And then it needed a hook, and then I started writing it, and I just wasn't feeling it. And then I emailed her again with another pitch, and then she said, wait, you've been mentioning romanticism. So, and I've been asked for romanticism, so you go write that. And I was like, okay, can you just quickly check it to make sure we're on the right page? So that's where we're at. She said she loved it so far. So I feel confident now.
Yeah.
There's lots of angst here. My protagonist is accidentally a little bit of a substance abuser, but in like a magical way.
Yeah.
In an angsty, magical way. And I have a guy there who's just Luke Danes, but British, which is brilliant. And yeah, I'm just enjoying it. I'm enjoying getting back into it and also being able to write something different, because usually for Nano, I pick a project I know I'm not going to finish, and I pick fantasy because I never publish in fantasy. I just enjoy, but it was like my first love. But I was always too scared to kind of actually be a fantasy author, because I don't feel like, I don't know, like it's a tough genre.
It is a whole
Contemporary
different
romance
thing.
is more comfortable for me.
Yeah, I get it. It takes more, I feel like, brain power, especially when you're building the entire world.
Yeah, well, I'm not doing that. It's kind of more of a paranormal romance. But yeah, I'm hopeful that this one is kind of the start of something else,
Good.
and like straying from contemporary to a little bit of what I started when I first knew I wanted to be an author. So we'll see.
Good.
Has anything helped you get through Nano a little easier? Like, how are you convincing yourself to do the work?
Well, I do, I feel like I do, it's easiest for me to actually write or do stuff when you do it also. And like,
Yeah.
you know, we said before, like when you're watching me work, it's easier for me to do the actual work.
Yeah.
But with the ideas, I feel like I'm sort of switched to like, it's November, so I kind of have to think of it more. Like, I'm sort of like pushing myself into like, I have to, so I'm gonna now. And I've been listening to my playlist, and also thank you, League of Legends. They released a new song, Paranoia. Fucking banger. Like, it's so good. It's so extremely good. I've been listening to it nonstop. And that helped me a lot, of course, because I keep thinking of a new like ideas and scenes that goes vibes to vibes with this song.
Yeah.
So yeah, I mean, yeah, I guess there is that. And I do love this specific project. And also with the Fortnite new season, that's also very helpful
Yeah.
because I'm getting the correct vibes.
Yeah.
And that's a lot for me, yeah.
I've been, well, a big part of mine is like recipes and stuff. So I've been enjoying like the Scrivener
Oh
research
yeah.
feature and the split screen feature. So like before I go into a baking scene, I find an autumnal recipe, and that's really fun for me. Playlists and mood boards, and Pinterest, and just doing the sprints with people, because at the minute we're having scheduled sprints in Discord, which everyone's welcome to join. So it's just useful to know that at that specific time in the day, that's when I should, or at least try to do something, or around that time. Yeah, and doing it with you, doing sprints, I find is easier than just sitting down
It is.
to write, because yeah, you have like an allotted time that you have to get through.
Yeah,
But then
absolutely.
you know there's an end to it, and it's not going to go on forever and ever and ever.
Yeah.
Because my toxic trait is that once I start writing a chapter, I want to finish it, and then something else will come to my brain, and I don't always finish writing when I want to or should. So sprinting is easier for me in that way. Like once I've done two sprints, or I've got my word count for the day, I'll be done. And
Yeah.
if it's in the middle of a chapter, then that's it is what it
It's what it is.
is.
I mean, the sprints are like a whole game changer for me.
Yeah.
Even when I start like when I was writing in April more, it was just so helpful to just have that set time on it. But again, like if I'm doing it myself, it's not the same thing. I just always need someone else to be there with me.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's fucking it's so good. Yeah.
Yeah. I actually really do love Nano, just in that Like, writing is usually such an isolation.
Thing, isolating.
Isolating experience. Like, you do it all on your own.
Yeah.
But like with Nano, you have the community going, and like you're all sharing it all the time, and it just feels good.
I have to say also, like, Scrivener is so good.
It
It's
is so
so
good.
good. Oh my God. I'm a
And
little worried that I'm gonna pay for it, even though like I don't need it. But
I'm
like
gonna pay
it's
for
so
it.
good. It's so good.
But if we win Nano, we'll get the 50% discount.
Yeah. But you really think I will do that? I could fake it technically, like that's possible always.
Nobody
Not
has
that
this.
I would do that.
No. So for every Sunday this month, we are doing little write-ins. So you can just join us. We'll have our camera and mics on. You don't have to. You can just
No.
put text, do it in the text channel if you'd rather. Today we just vibed. We just hung out. Like, we talked a little bit about writing, and we talked a lot about not writing, and
Yeah.
it was good fun.
I learned more about my hypermobility in this like hour than I did from my doctor, so that was good.
Yeah, but yeah, they're scheduled 3 p.m. UK time every Sunday, and it's in our Discord. So there's a link in our link tree for Discord, and it's good fun. Like, it's there's no pressure. Like, I did put that we might sprint sometimes there, but like, conversation was flowing, so we didn't do that this week.
Yeah.
It's more just a place to make Nano a bit fun and a bit like community, just catch up with each other.
Yeah.
So if that sounds like something you're interested in, do come along next week. I have tea.
Oh my. I don't.
I know,
How
we haven't had tea.
shameful. We didn't.
It's less tea and more just like, what the fuck is going on in the publishing industry?
Yeah.
Did you see?
No, I don't think so. Maybe I'm not going
No.
on Twitter much lately. And by lately, I mean the last few years, because it's just been too much.
I get it. A publisher's marketplace deal was announced by the author.
Oh yeah, I did saw it. You, I think you commented it. Yeah, I saw it. Yeah.
It's about a young woman spending the summer with her wealthy aunt and uncle in Greenwich City. What's Connecticut, right? Who helps an obsessive crush on the family who develops an obsessive crush on the family's black nanny and must decide who to protect after a tragic accident occurs. Exploring the insidiousness of privilege and complicity and the ways that whiteness and power protect their own. This was taken on by St. Martin's Press with the agent Francis Golden Literary Agency. So it's a hefty deal. I'd imagine it's five figures, if not six, right? The author is Kate Broad. She's white, is the problem.
I mean, people should, like, white people should, like, go into their white privilege more, but without, like, that part of, like, bringing in black people into it again.
Yeah.
Like, those are two separate things. It's
It's
just,
just, first
yikes.
of all, like, the fetishization of a black lower class person who is forced to do manual labor for a white person. It's basically like the fucking Nazi romance, and like, it's just another like oppressor and oppressee romance. And I just don't know. First of all, as an author, why you would want to write that when you're white and it's not your experience. And if it is, I'm concerned.
I'm a little shocked that like we had these conversations for so long, and how are you
Honestly,
so like not getting it still? And not
it's
only
not.
you, but the agent and the publisher and
Yeah.
so many people involved.
That's what shocks me, because an author can have a terrible idea, but like, when it's enabled by the agent, the commissioning editor, and usually other people within the publishing company will have read it before the deal is made, because
Yeah.
like, they all need to know what they're working on. It's just bizarre. Like, I don't understand. I don't understand how that can be. Like, why did nobody stop and think this isn't a story that should be told by a white woman? I like, it's 2023 and it's still happening. And again, it's one of the bigger publishing companies, one of the most wealthiest ones, the one on top. And they still don't know a thing about like oppression and race and marginalization, because that publishing deal, that money could have been given to a marginalized voice who probably deserves it and has a better story to tell.
I
It's just
just
never our place. It's not our place. Like, it's not our experience. It's not our place. And there is nothing like, there's just nothing interesting about the way that white people have oppressed and like ruined and turned their back on black people throughout history and now. And what another weird time to do it, because like there's all this stuff happening around the world, like genocide is happening and ethnic cleansing. Like, if there was any time to not put that out there, it's in this day and age.
Speaking of, if you see a list of names of people who died, who were killed in like ethnic cleansing,
Oh,
do
yeah.
not fucking say, I'm gonna put them into my work in progress so their names are remembered forever. What a fucking dickish thing to do, to say out loud. Fuck's sake.
People generally don't like attach reality to what's going on in the world. Like, we haven't spoken a lot about Palestine. I'm retweeting a lot on my Twitter. But like, it's just fucking, people are just not like, they're not connected to reality anymore.
At all.
Or maybe they weren't ever. And I get it. Like, I get that you don't get it because we've never been through that in like, but a lot of people have. Like, the Holocaust didn't happen that long ago.
No, fucking Holocaust survivors are telling us this is the same thing that happened to us. There
Yes.
are these are the parallels.
And every if you don't know anything about Palestine, then you have at least learned about the horrors that happened in like the concentration camps, because that was on without a doubt like every Western curriculum in schools.
I just saw a photo like yesterday of Palestinians being in camps with numbers on their ankles. Ring a fucking bell?
Yeah. It's just, I just
Yeah.
like the, honestly, the world just turned into shit. And like the least we can do. Also, this person had nothing. I think they retweeted one thing about Palestine. The woman who was published,
Oh.
Kate Broad, she retweeted like one thing about Palestine before the deal was announced, and that's it. Like, these people genuinely don't give a shit about marginalization. They're just sensationalizing and fetishizing
I guess so.
the culture of being oppressed, and I just don't fucking get it.
Yeah. Because that's something that white people did not mention, didn't get to colonize yet, is the oppression.
Right. Yeah. They love being the cause of it so much that they'd write a whole book about it. Like, it just doesn't make sense. And why would you want to like even attach yourself to the way that white people have failed like so drastically? Like, why wouldn't you just want to make the world a little better and improve it for marginalized voices? Like, I just don't understand. I don't get it. I don't think I ever will.
No.
Yeah, so that's my tea. I'm kind of just so fucking done with the publishing industry at the minute and the way that it just makes the same mistakes over and over again. And I do believe St. Martin's Press have like published some serious like racist authors in the past anyway, so it's not that huge of a surprise.
Yeah, I mean, I can't think of this being as mistakes or more like a very conscious decision.
Well, yeah.
We can no longer like sign up to
Well,
mistakes.
yeah, exactly. That's very true. Like, it's not a mistake at all. They know exactly what they're doing, and they know that this book is for white people. It's not for people of color. It's not about culture or anything else. It's just a book about like white saviorism, because you can guarantee that the white hero will be a hero by the end of the book. because they'll do like the basic thing and protect a person of color. Either that, or they'll just be so fucking disgusting that they won't do that. And that's, I don't know which is worse, because the book shouldn't exist in either form.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's just time to just diversify your reading list and not support people who do shit like this. What do we have to announce? We have new articles going up every week this month, from with interviews with various indie authors. Last week we had Esme Syme Smith, author of Sir Cali series, which is like a kid lit with the non-binary protagonist, and it's medieval and magical and it sounds great. And next week we have an interview with Chloe Spencer will go live, which is about her new horror book, Vicarious. Mm-hmm. So remember to keep updated with our blog. And we also just released our monthly release list for November. So check out all the new queer books coming out as well.
And also remember to
support women's rights.
But most importantly, support women's wrongs. Unless they're doing all the shit that we've been talking about in the past 5 minutes.
Unless they want to write a book about race when they're white and don't know what they're talking about.
And until next time, we shall see you later, alligator.
In a while, crocodile.
Goodbye.
Goodbye. Thank you for listening to Swords and Sapphics. You can enjoy a new episode every Wednesday.
While waiting, you can visit our website, swordsandsapphics.com, and find lots of articles, interviews, and guest pieces.
Feel free to contact us with any requests, questions, or inquiries through a form on our website or directly to our email, swordsandsapphicspodcast@gmail.com.